Galatians chapter number 5, our first midweek service of the year, and enjoying the beginning of this year. We're already a week into it, and it seems like it comes and goes so quickly, but looking forward to this night and this midweek service. Thank you for being here tonight. As we look in this passage here, and we've been teaching on the fruit of the Spirit the last number of weeks, took a couple weeks of a break during the Christmas break with a couple of other lessons there, but we'll continue on this and looking at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, and if you would take your Bibles and turn there, and we'll look at verse number 16 and read down to the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter number 5. And verse number 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." And we're not going to read over it here, but you look at the works of the flesh listed in verse 18 through verse number 21, verse 19 to 21, I should say. You don't want to be on that list. We'll skip down to verse number 22 and continue with our reading here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Bless our word of prayer as we begin the message. Thank you, Lord, for this night, the message, for the word of God. Please speak to each and every heart. Help us, Lord, to truly be led in the Spirit, to be walking in the Spirit, and have the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. I pray you bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit here, we are to walk in the Spirit. You know that the Christian life takes action. It takes work in the Christian life every single day. You can't take a day off. Walking in the Spirit every single day, spending time with God each and every day, and you know that that's important. We know it. Many times it's not the things that we don't know that are tripping us up in our lives. It's the things that we do know that are harmful in our life that we still do, or the things that we know we're supposed to do and we don't do those. As Paul said in the book of Romans, "O wretched man that I am, the things that I would, I do not, the things I should not do, that I do, O wretched man that I am." We know what we need to do. It's not a question, it's are we doing it? We know we need to eat healthy and exercise and all the things we should do, but yet, man, it's so hard because the food that's not good for you, it tastes better than the food that is good for you. Right? That was a good amen I got on that one. I hit a tone on that note. And someone sent me a picture with some cookies the other day. It was my brother. We have a cookie thread going on. No, not really. And I said, "Is it still cookie season?" And he said, "It's always cookie season." And so now you know where I get that from, I guess. But walking in the Spirit, it takes work. It takes action. It takes labor every day. It takes character to walk in the Spirit. Get up, do what you're supposed to do every single day. To walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and then you have the fruit of the Spirit. You know the Bible says, "By your fruit ye shall know them." Right? By your fruit ye shall know them. People know you're a Christian by the fruit in your life. They hear it, they see it, and you can see that on others as well. The fruit in our life, again, many times we are trying to produce the fruit, right? And if you're planting a fruit tree, you'd probably want fruit. If you're planting a garden, you want to have the produce that comes from it, but it takes the labor for that, and it doesn't just show up in a day. It takes time, it takes labor with planting and watering and fertilizing and protecting it from everything that wants to eat it or destroy it, and then you get the fruit, but it takes work. You know, we live in such of a fast-paced society, we want everything right away. I prayed, Lord, and we should have faith. God can answer any moment, but will you pray even if it takes months, years, decades? Walk in the Spirit, and that fruit will be produced by God in your life when you put in the labor of walking with the Lord. We looked at a few of the first topics here, walking in the Spirit, and then it says you'll have the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're not going to go over each of these tonight. To have love in your life, that's number one, right? God is love. Just remember this, God is our ultimate example. If we're going to look at a perfect example, now, we could at times in our life have a perfect love, but not all the time. Because we're sinners, right? I can have joy at moments, but then sometimes my joy gets stolen away or I give it away. But to have love in your life, love comes from God. And He is that ultimate example of love and of joy and of every other area in this list. To have peace in your life. You have peace in your heart. And then tonight we're going to look at this topic of long-suffering. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Again, we're not trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You walk with God and He will produce the fruit in your life. He produces it. All right? We're not trying to, if I work really hard. No. God will produce it when you spend the time with Him. He will produce that in your life. Long suffering. What does this word long suffering mean? The word long suffering in the Bible is made of two Greek words that literally mean long and temper. Or literally long tempered. I'll explain it, and I think I have a good illustration to help you with that, but I think you understand it. To suffer long. I don't even like to suffer short, all right? I don't like to suffer at all. And I don't know, you think you have a high pain tolerance or you suffer well. Some people, they're tough, and all of a sudden it's that one little thing and you're like, you wimp, you know? you can get through everything else, but not that. And I don't like to suffer at all. I'm not like, ooh, I enjoyed that suffering. I walked by the chair the other day and I hit my ankle, just straight the ankle bone on the point of the chair. And man, that hurt. You know, like, ow. You know, if it was my kid, like, get over it. No. But to be long-tempered, long-suffering. Unfortunately, we don't like to suffer. I don't like the suffering, the trials, the endurance. We don't love that. But it is a part of life. Difficulty and trials are a part of life. So what is long-suffering? I'll give you a few thoughts about this before we get into the main point of the message. It's enduring difficult trials or people. Long-suffering, enduring difficult trials or people. Do you have one or both of those tonight? An amen on that one. Maybe when it comes to that person or that situation, that you have to be long-suffering with that situation that seems like it's never going away in your eyes. That person that has just been a struggle and a difficulty in some way, maybe a thorn in the flesh, an enduring of difficult trials or people. Long-suffering is refusing to give up hope. You know, you ever think sometimes, I just want to throw in the towel. I quit. I give up. I give up the faith. You know, I'm done. But no, long suffering, not short, but long, having patience, patience to endure, not being quick-tempered, you know, that one thing that sets you off, not being quick-tempered, having self-restraint. The opposite of long suffering is being impatient. I don't know anyone that likes to wait. We don't like to suffer, we don't like to wait. You go through the drive-thru, and if there's one person in front of you, like, what has taken them so long? It took you all like 3.5 minutes to get your food. And we live in a very impatient society. And I think Americans, maybe more than anyone around the world, we are impatient people. We can get angry very quickly and impulsive, reactionary. Why? Because we don't want to wait. We want it right now. Growing up, on occasions, might date me a little bit for some of the younger folks, but on occasions, we would watch the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, right? Amen, right? Good, wholesome, old-fashioned television shows. It's been a long time. But you look at that, and Wile E. Coyote, his job was to take out the Roadrunner for his whole life. That was his job. And every angry, destructive, terrible thing he could do to try to trip up. How many of you have no idea who I'm talking about? Never heard or seen it at all? One, that's okay. Everyone else is on board with me. We'll show you later, the shows of the faith. But he would try to set up some kind of a trap. And many times, you know, it was dynamite, right? And somehow the Roadrunner would get away and meep, meep, and it was taken off, you know what I mean? And he'd set it, and he'd set like the longest fuse in the world. You know, it was like a mile long of a fuse, and it would go all the way, and then somehow the Roadrunner would put it out, and it escaped somehow, and he never got it. I'll say this, the coyote had some serious anger issues, all right? That's all I got to say. not long-suffering. I should put it that way. When I say that, everyone has a fuse, right? You have the fuse. Some is shorter, some is longer. Some is longer for certain situations and shorter for other situations. Longer for some people and shorter for other people, where the fuse, you think, okay, I can put up with it. Now I'm done, right? I can endure, now I'm finished with it. And you have what you would call your button. You know what I'm talking about? You have the button that people want to push. Maybe you leave the button out there too long, or you told them what your button is, and people like to push your button, and all of a sudden that fuse shrunk, and all of a sudden you're done. Most of us can endure for a period of time, and then our patience runs out. I have patience in the trial, and then at times I have no patience. Right? You have trust in the Lord, and then all of a sudden there's no more trust in the Lord. You have patience with a person, and all of a sudden that patience seemed to wear out in a moment, and we are no longer long-suffering. Let's look first of all at how the Lord is long-suffering. Again, if Christ is our ultimate example, we want to be more like Christ. Okay? I hope we're not showing up to church to make a show, but we truly want to be more like the Lord, and that should be our desire every time we come to the house of the Lord. You spend time with God. In Numbers 14:18, it says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy." There's some other words in the Bible that are similar to long-suffering, but not exactly the same. Patience, mercy, or some that would be similar. It says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy." Aren't you thankful the Lord is long-suffering? Right? We need more of an amen on that one. Think about it, how long-suffering the Lord is with us, and how quick we can be short-tempered and a short fuse with others. If the Lord had as short of a fuse with others, or with us, as we do with others, we'd be in a world of trouble, wouldn't we? The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Long-suffering. You know, God's mercy and God's long-suffering, it doesn't mean God does not deal with sin. He still deals with that, but He is long-suffering. He's merciful. He's gracious. Psalm 86:15 says, "But Thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Amen? "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Think about God's long-suffering with you, right? Not just with everyone else, but with you. How God is patient with you. God is long-suffering with you, with me. I'm thankful for God being long-suffering. I think about this in relation to a verse in 1 Peter 3:20. It says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." You know, God looked down on the earth and He repents in Himself that He had made man, because man was so wicked before the Lord. And God said, "I'm going to destroy all the earth, all the living flesh, everything that's upon the face of dry ground, God was going to destroy. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Amen? That is God being long-suffering, that He is merciful. And God's found Noah and said, "I want you to prepare an ark." And the eight souls that were saved there. And God was long-suffering, not just with mankind, with Noah and his family, but while they prepared the ark, God was gracious and long-suffering. As you think of being long-suffering, think about God's patience, long-suffering with you and with me. I want to ask you a few questions tonight. Again, remember, we are not trying to produce the fruit of love. I just want to love more. No, I need to walk with God more so God can produce love in my life. I need to walk with God so He'll produce that peace and that joy in my life. When it's ever out of whack, when it's not right in your life, get things right with God. Amen. You know where to go. You know what to do. Get back to the Lord. So we're not trying to produce these in our life. God produces the fruit in our life. So this next point tonight is about being long-suffering. Point number one, are you long-suffering with the Lord? I want to explain this. God has never done anything wrong. Amen? He's never done anything wrong. He has never been out of place. He has never said a wrong word, had a wrong thought. His timing is always perfect. I'm thankful we serve a perfect and a holy God. And sometimes we get frustrated with the Lord, if we're honest, because we think that our timing is better than God's timing. We think that our way is better than God's way, and to be long-suffering. Again, not that God has done anything wrong. God is perfect, but our spirit towards the Lord. We can be so impatient because we want our timing and our way, and that sounds pretty selfish, doesn't it, when you think it or say it out loud. We want our prayers answered now, and yes, I'm not against that, but by God's will. Amen? Thy will be done. You know, when you pray and you say, God, I pray you'd answer this prayer and this need, and you want it according to God's will, but man, I'd love for this prayer to be answered right now. And sometimes our faith can wane because we're not getting our prayers answered and we get impatient and we stop praying. We're not getting what we want out of it and we are not having that long suffering that we should. Again, remember this, that God's timing is always best. Amen? He has made everything beautiful in His time. I've messed up a whole lot of things in my timing, but God's timing is always best. I don't know about you, but so many times I maybe get impatient at the moment, and sometimes think, God, well, why have you not done this, or why have you not answered this prayer? Why is this situation not fixed? And then all of a sudden, in the end, you go, oh, after God came through in His timing and He took care of it, you look back and you go, oh, that's why you did that, Lord. And then you say, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. And that's kind of the circle of life, if you will, the Christian life. Remember this, God always has a plan and God always has a purpose, right? Again, God brings trials into your life that you didn't choose, you didn't ask for. And God said, I want you to be long-suffering with that trial. I think of the Apostle Paul and how the Apostle Paul, he asked for deliverance from the Lord for that thorn in the flesh. God doesn't bring difficulty in our life just to make our lives miserable. He brings trials in our life to build our faith. The Bible says the trying of faith worketh what? Patience. Now again, I don't want more trials and you ask for more patience, you're going to get more trials, so be careful with that one. But when Paul asked for God to take away that thorn in the flesh, God didn't take it away, but instead He gave him grace, didn't He? And he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Many times when I think, well, God, I want you to change the situation, but God wants to give you grace to deal with that situation. You know, we want God to take the difficulty away. Well, wouldn't that be nice, wouldn't it? If every difficulty God just took away, that's not life. That's not reality. And so you are long-suffering, keeping your faith with the Lord, that He has a plan and that He has a purpose. Sometimes you think, well, why do I have to go through the trial? When is it going to end? And you start to get frustrated with the Lord and you stop. Sometimes even in your prayer time. And you say, God, I'm sorry. Your way is best and I trust you and your timing. Because I don't have the omniscience of God. I don't know all things. And God sees the past, the present, and the future. And if I want to rush ahead and do it my way, but God says no, because you don't know what's going to happen if you do it your way. So you just need to trust in me. Are you long-suffering with the Lord? See, being long-suffering, it produces faith. That trial that God has allowed you to go through, maybe for weeks or months or years, and maybe God's going to allow you to go through that trial for a lifetime. And you just keep your faith in the Lord. And as you go through the trial, you keep building your faith that God keeps giving you strength, right? That God keeps giving you grace and mercy as you walk through that trial. And that long-suffering, it produces patience. It produces patience in your life. So number one, are you long-suffering with the Lord? Number two, are you long-suffering with people? Are you long-suffering with people? Are there certain people that just like to test your patience? Again, you have that button and they know how to push the button. Don't say names, don't call anyone out here, all right? But being long-suffering with people. Again, we have such an impatient society with people. You know, people get out of my way because I have something I want to do. Well, they have something they want to do as well, right? And somehow our agenda is more important than theirs. Maybe it is. I don't know. But again, we have such an impatient society. But are you long-suffering with people? You know, dealing with people, that's one of the greatest joys of life and one of the greatest trials in life, if we're honest, right? And if we remember this, that people have been long-suffering with us, right? People have been long-suffering with us, but then sometimes we get that grace, we get the mercy, we get the patience, but too many times we turn around with that same mercy and we turn around and we can be harsh with others. Are you long-suffering with people? Sometimes we get to the point where we maybe give up our faith in people. Maybe there's someone that you're praying for, and then maybe at some point you give up faith and you stop praying for them. Right? You ever been there? You're praying, Lord, would you save this soul? And they've not gotten saved, and it's been a long period of time, and at some point you think, well, they're never going to get saved. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. Understanding this, that God can change anyone, anytime, right? Don't give up faith praying for people. People that need your prayers, that sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes decades. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. And be long-suffering with people when you pray for people. Be long-suffering with people with witnessing to people. With witnessing. You think, well, they're never going to get saved. I prayed for them. I witnessed to them. Well, what if it's this time that God's going to come through? Don't give up your faith. Too many times we stop one step short of a miracle. We stop one step short of God coming through because our faith has waned. Our long-suffering has become short-suffering, and we don't want to go through the difficulty of what it takes on the other side. Are you long-suffering with people with their difficulties in life to care and to help people? You know, I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to help people. Jesus wasn't above people. Although he's God and he is set apart from man, but Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he would, so to say, would get his hands dirty helping people. Not meaning he's sin, but he would help the beggar. He'd help the children. He'd help the sinners. Although all were sinners, but some people had labeled others as sinners and others maybe as not sinners, I'm not sure. But he was willing to go and help people. And he was long-suffering with them. People that even the disciples and others would try to shun and push aside. Jesus said, no, suffer the little children to come unto me. And he would call those closer to him that others would push aside. There's times where sometimes you think, oh, I don't want to bother with them. I don't want to deal with them. And we push them aside. Instead, when maybe we need to show the love and the mercy and the grace of God to someone in their life, to show light in a dark world to these people, and to be long-suffering with them, to care for people. Too many times we don't want people to mess up our lives. You know what I mean? We don't want people to mess up ours. It's going to mess up my schedule today. You ever been there? The Lord says, hey, stop and talk to them. But I have things to do. No, we need to help people, to be long-suffering with people and to care for others, to be long-suffering. Sometimes we think, well, they're never going to change. You know, God can't. No, stop saying what God can and can't do in people's lives, to be long-suffering with others, with your family. We need to be careful with how we deal with family, right? Many times the people that we can be the most harsh with are the people that we live with, the people we're related to. Be careful with that, with how you treat people. Again, we want to show a Christ-like spirit to everyone, not just the people outside of the house, but the people inside of the house. It's been said before that your greatest ministry is within the walls of your house. To be long-suffering with the people that are there. It's easy to be short-tempered, isn't it? Right? It's easy to be short-tempered, and all of a sudden you lose your cool and you say, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Don't be too big to ask for forgiveness when you've maybe crossed the line and you've not been long-suffering when you should have been. To say, I'm sorry, to pray and say, God, help me to have a right spirit. Forgive me for this time. Help me to have the right spirit next time. with others, having long-suffering with your family, with people that you spend time with in your workplace, remembering that you are a testimony to those that you spend time with that see you on a daily basis, and that you are careful with your testimony, showing the fruit of the Spirit to those around you, and then being long-suffering with people in this world. Again, remembering that lost people act like lost people. Lost people act like lost people. And if we react the same way that they're acting, well, how are we any different than the world is then? All right? The fruit of the Spirit should call us up to be more like Christ. You know, it's been decades, I forget when exactly, but what would Jesus do? You know, it was the wristbands and all that stuff for a while, but what would God do in that situation? How would Christ respond? What would He say? What would He do? Are you long-suffering with people? And then thirdly, are you long-suffering with yourself? Let me explain it this way. It's easy to get discouraged with yourself, isn't it? You ever get discouraged with yourself? Now, not being like schizophrenic or anything, but you ever get mad at yourself, have a conversation with yourself? Because you failed, you got discouraged. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked falleth into mischief. You know, it's easier to throw in the towel. Say, you know what, I failed, so I quit. That'd be easier. It'd be easier to quit than just to pick up and keep going, than to go back and make it right. You know, so many times we have people in society today, they would rather run away from a problem and a difficulty than dealing with it. But you know what? Running away from a problem is just running to a new problem, right? Running away from where God has called you to, you're getting out of the will of God. Again, it could be easier to throw in the towel when things get hard. You ever get discouraged that you're not a better Christian than you are? That you're not closer to God than you should be and showing the fruit of the Spirit and walking with God as you should? I mentioned it before, but on occasions, not often, don't think I'm great with this. I run with Joel sometimes, and he likes to run, and he's 16, and I'm a few years older than that, and so not a chance in my life could I keep up with him, especially long distance, and so, you know, Dad, you want to run me? I'm like, sure, let's do it, and it sounds good at the beginning. It changes very quickly, all right, like to the end of the street, and I'm like, that was a bad decision. I should just turn around and go back, all right? Maybe enjoy it. I don't love it. I do for a moment. Running is such a mental game. I'm not running a marathon. It's like barely a mile, okay? it's such a mental battle. They say your mind, it's more of a mental battle than a physical battle. Your body can go a whole lot further if you mentally can keep yourself going. And I beg to disagree with that at times, but I get going all the stretches. I stretch as long as I can because maybe it'll work out better in the end. And we go and get started, and I put on some upbeat, good, godly Christian music, and I think maybe that'll help. And as I'm going, I'll pray and think about whatever. And about halfway through, I'm like, my body's like, bad decision. You know, you shouldn't have eaten that. You should have stopped. You should turn around. And I think, I can keep going. And you set a goal, right? You set a goal. I could get to this distance. And you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay, I can do it. And you go through the suffering. Right? You go through the trial, but you can keep going. Many times you can go further than you think you can go. You can go further than you think you can go. But how many times does our flesh tell you, just throw in the towel? You're not a good Christian. You failed again. You said you weren't going to do it. You said you were going to do that. And we struggle with maybe that personal battle in our lives of just wanting to give in and throw in the towel. You know, you tried yesterday, it didn't work today, throw in the towel, forget it, just give up. You know, why even try and just give into the flesh? Christian, you do not want to give into the flesh. I do not want to give into the flesh. Why? Because the works of the flesh are manifest in our lives in verse number 19 to 21. And look at the list here that you do not want to be on. I don't want the works of flesh in my life, so I want to live in the Spirit. Don't give up. Don't give in to the flesh. You think, but I really want to say it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I really feel like that. If it's a feeling, an emotion, don't listen to that. That is coming from your heart and from your flesh. Long suffering. You can endure. You think, don't say it, and then you fail. Just keep going. Walk away from the situation. Be long suffering with yourself. Be long suffering. Remember this, the fruit of the Spirit comes from walking in the Spirit. So Christian, how is your walk with God? We are 7 days into the new year. How's your walk with God? The new year isn't like you become super Christian, you're a new person from December 31st to January 1st. That doesn't happen that way. But it can be a good of a reset button to work at things and to keep growing in your life. So how is your walk with God for the first week? If you were to evaluate that or ask God, how is my walk with God for the first 7 days? How's it been? Well, your walk with God is determining how, if you're walking in the Spirit and you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So how's your walk with God been? Have you had a consistent and a real walk with God every single day this year so far? You say, all year long, I walk with God every day. Not been perfect in every way, but God is helping you to grow in your Christian life. When you struggle in your life, keep your faith, keep your patience, and keep your trust in the Lord. When you struggle, the Bible says, when you fail. I'm thankful the Lord, the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, the Bible says He remembers that we're but dust. God remembers that we're flesh, and God knows we're going to fail. Not an excuse, but He knows that we're flesh. When you struggle, keep your faith. When you struggle, keep your patience, keep your trust, and your eyes on the Lord. When you fail, get right with God. When you fall, get back up again. Well, how do you do that as a Christian? Well, you go to God in prayer and say, God, I failed again. Would you forgive me? God, I failed again. Would you forgive me? You confess your sin and say, God, would you help me to get back on the right track in my life? Ask God to help you. Remember this, we would love to take away all the difficulty out of our lives, but God uses the trials and the difficulty in our life to help us to grow. He's helping us to grow. I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Peter, but God says to add to your faith, virtue, patience, to add in your life, that we are to grow in our life. It doesn't matter your age, you can always grow closer to the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are, you can always take a step closer to God in your life. And God wants to build you. This long suffering has the analogy that there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulty. Can you keep your patience with the Lord and keep trusting God and with others and with yourself? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to